Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Southern Miss fans know the number one stop for Golden Eagle apparel is Campus Bookmart on Hardy Street in Hattiesburg. Baseball, basketball, football, Campus Bookmart has it covered with clothing to fit the young and old, big and small Golden Eagle in your family. You can visit the store on Hardy Street, shop online at campusbookmart.net, or call in your order and have it mailed to your front door. However you choose to buy, always visit Campus Bookmart first. You won't be sorry. Campus Bookmart and Southern Miss, to the top.
All free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, let's go. Friday edition of the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Bob Getty, Kelly Center. We're in the Southern Bancorp studio at Hattiesburg. It is Fan Friday. In about 20 minutes, we're going to start taking your phone calls. You can call us whenever you like today. Let me look at the number. 264-8910, 601-264-8910. And we've got a question of the day. We'll do it a little differently. We'll take any questions and comments that you have. We already have one that's been sent to us. But we want to invite you to call us today and tell us, put your prediction hats on, how many football games will the Golden Eagles win this fall? Who will they beat? Who will they lose to? Get the schedules out, study up, and call and give us your expertise here a little later in the hour. And if you have some other questions or comments, obviously, we would love to hear from you. The opening segment is sponsored by Dickey's Barbecue Pit. It is a great place to take your family for dinner tonight and a great place to cater your next event. All right, speaking of football games, one of our favorite Southern Miss coaches is, of course, the strength and conditioning coach, Coach Lance Ancar, and we finagled him back on the Eagle Hour today. I know he's busy working out the guys, but, Coach, how in the world are you?
Oh, man, I'm you know, proud and honored to be on here, and I can't complain one bit, man. Just trying to stay cool, trying to get these guys ready to go and excited for another year.
No question. All right, Coach, now give us that. We're here in the middle of July. What is going on right now with the football program? And I know this is a time of the year that you really spend most of the time with these guys.
Yeah, actually, you know, the coaches went on vacation, so right now it's just been straight grinding. We've been getting up early in the morning, you know, today was 6 a.m., and, you know, we'll get a run and a lift in, but pretty much these last couple weeks, besides the week before for the 4th of July, we've been grinding every day of the week. You know, Monday is a run and a lift. Tuesday we just run. Wednesday just lift. Thursday just run, but Friday is our find a way Friday, and we get a good run and lift, and you know, just been grinding. These guys have been working their tails off.
Coach, you say 6 a.m. Is that to avoid the heat, or is that just part of your routine, getting them up early and getting them going?
Yeah, I think it's just more a part of just the routine and just mental toughness. You know, obviously, I like for them to sleep in, you know, just because I know that a lot of times they don't get the amount of sleep that they need because they do stay up. They're college kids. But on Fridays, hey, it's one of those days you just got to find a way. You got to grind it out, set 2-3 alarms, wake each other up, and make sure that everybody's ready to go early in the morning.
In the old days, Coach Ancar, it seemed like everybody kind of lifted the same kind of program. You know, the offensive linemen did the same thing that the DBs did and so on and so forth. But I would imagine as time has evolved, so too has the way you approach your job and the different positions. Can you educate us about, you know, the different programs for the different positions, different sizes of guys and so on?
It all goes to the demands of what they're going to be doing on the field. You know, obviously, our fast guys have got to do things fast. So, you know, instead of pushing prowlers, instead of pushing sleds, those guys are more pulling chains and are going to be doing things that's going to help them on the field as far as what their demands for their specific position is. So, those linebackers, tight ends, those guys are kind of our hybrids, running backs. because there has to be a little bit of both. But, you know, the way that we kind of separate the guys are, you know, our bigs, which are our O-linemen, D-linemen, our mid-skill, which are the linebackers, tight end, sometimes the running backs, because they're kind of tweeners in between mid-skill and skill, just because they have to be able to do both of them. And then our skill guys, which are our DBs, wideouts. I forgot to mention the quarterbacks in there with the mid-skill. But the main difference is, you know, they all do the same lift. It's just how much we're going to load the bar and the emphasis on the speed of the bar sometimes. But mostly the main difference that we're going to be seeing as far as specific for their position is going to be the running that they're doing.
Now, you know, you deal with football, of course, but baseball parents – who are parents of travel baseball, you know, younger kids coming into manhood, so on, who parents are always asking me, should he be playing in the fall? And I always tell people, fall is a sport for football and soccer. It's not a baseball season. So work on speed and agility, which I think if parents are missing the boat with younger athletes is they don't have their children get involved in speed and agility training like they should when they're coming up. What say you to that, Coach Ankar?
I agree with you. You know, I know that especially with baseball, it's one of those sports that it is so different because everybody's trying to, you know, get ahead of the game and showcases and all of this nonsense. But, you know, I really do feel like, especially at an early age, there's so much transfer between sports. That I think if a kid is only focusing on one sport, they're missing out on developing some other skills that may help them with that sport later on in life. And also, you know, you don't want to get burnt out. I think a lot of these travel ball kids, they get burnt out.
And that leads them then to maybe doing things that they shouldn't be doing.
Correct.
You know, they get bored and do things they shouldn't be doing. But if you don't have the speed, Coach Ankar, it doesn't matter how good you are. Right?
Yeah, especially at certain positions. You know, now at O lineman, D lineman, you know, obviously you still want to be fast and explosive. But yeah, if you're a DB wide out, you know, running back, they won't even look at you unless you're running a certain 40, you know. And your speed, it means everything, you know. And that's one thing that we always say around here is slow feet don't eat. So, hey, if you're moving slow and you don't have a certain amount of pep in your step when you're running, you're not going to even get a look at it, especially at the highest level.
Now, Coach, I know you've met Kelly before. If Kelly were on the squad right now, is there a position you think he could fill on the team?
He'd be a strength coach.
Oh, Kelly? Yeah.
Well, that's a promotion from Waterboy, which is what I usually.
I mean, could you see him maybe as an O guard or a D tackle? I mean, is he tough enough for that, you think?
Well, I don't know about the toughness part. You know, he would have to come out to a workout, but he definitely, I could see him as a guard, nose guard. You know, I could see him pushing some people around out there.
Yeah.
The only thing where I know he would be involved is when the hot dogs are on the grill or, you know, something like that.
Quarterback wide out of the question, right, Coach?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure those two out of the question.
No DB? It couldn't sneak me in there as a DB.
There we go, a DB.
You know? You're going to be having that hand in the dirt, Kelly.
Coach, what are you seeing from the guys right now? What is the overall vibe of the football team?
I think the main thing that I can say about these guys is they're so resilient. You know, obviously with what the last couple weeks have been like for us, you know, they've been so resilient and so mature that it inspired me, you know, because there's been times where, especially like I said, the last couple weeks with MJ, that nobody is taught on how to deal with those type of situations, especially coaches. You know, and how to coach a team through those type of situations. And, you know, just to talk about Coach Hall, too, and how he's handled, you know, that whole, you know, adverse situation that we've been through. And the way that the guys have responded, you know, it's just been inspiring. It's been unreal that that we've come together and, you know, really pushed through that. And, you know, like I said, I never had to deal with it. Hope I never have to deal with it again. But the way that they like kind of showed the maturity that they showed, it makes everybody come to work and have a single-minded goal in mind. And that's the one word I can say about these guys. They've been so resilient, and everything that they've been through, not only just the training, you know, that's almost like the easy part. Like, I think this has become a sanctuary for them these last couple months, and I've been just so pleased and so, you know, inspired to be around them all the time, motivated. Just, it's a special group of guys.
Now, Coach, I know that no one knows Will Hall better than you. You guys played college football together. You were his center, as I recall. Am I right about that?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I'm going to ask you to hold on through this short break. I do want to ask you a question or two about Coach Hall, and then we'll let you go. You got just a couple minutes? You can hang around with us?
Yeah, no doubt, especially anything for you guys.
All right. We appreciate that, Coach. Coach Lance Ancar is on the show with us today. Strength and conditioning coach, great, great guy, and a guy we always very much enjoy having on the Eagle Hour. Now, don't forget, how many football games do you predict the Golden Eagles will win in 2024? Who will they beat? Who will they have trouble with? We want to get your opinions here shortly.
And my question is, how many are we playing? That's how many we're winning.
There we go. 601-264-8910 plus. You feel free to call us with any comments or questions you may have. We'll look forward to talking to you here very shortly. More with Lance Ancar, other side of the break.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
The Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
All right, Campus Bookmart, campusbookmart.net sponsors this section of the Super Talk Eagle Hour, and we're grateful for all they do. Also want to remind you about Mobay Beignet Company, 2902 Hardy Street, Hattiesburg. Delicious beignets, cooked to order, great coffees, cold and hot, and also the Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast. Thank you so much. Thousands of you are logging in every month. We're grateful to you for that. Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn. Tell Alexa to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Lance Ancar is with us on the Super Talk. I bet you know a thing or two about beignets, Coach Ancar.
Oh, yeah. Hey, that's another one right there. A New Orleans State where you can't go wrong with some beignets.
We were talking off air, Coach, and I have this in common. Fried oysters and cold beer, Kelly Sanders.
Yeah, but I don't think the beer and beignets would be necessarily a good combination.
Probably not, but I would go.
No, yeah. You'll all be right. Doing a lot of what everybody else on New Orleans does late at night. You'll be somewhere early.
What a ringing endorsement for the Crescent City. Yeah. Feel like throwing up, come to New Orleans. Yeah.
That's great, Coach. All right, Coach, nobody knows Will Hall better than you. You guys played football together, and you were his center. You were really the best center in the country in the Division II. And we hear that Coach Hall was a great quarterback. And now, I think this is fair to say. I'm not in any way trying to put you on a spot. But Coach Hall has told us that he feels the pressure and that he knows this has to be a year that a lot of wins need to get up on the board. And again, he's told us that. He's told us that on the show. We're not revealing anything. Has he changed at all? Does the pressure change Will Hall at all, Coach? What are you seeing out of Coach Hall right now?
I think the main thing that I've seen out of him is that it's almost like he thrives under pressure. You know, I think it's actually made him kind of, I would say less uptight, you know, because, you know, the one thing that he did, especially, you know, by bringing in another former teammate of ours with Chip Long, is kind of delegate another side of the ball. So now he's a head coach, you know, and he is one of those guys that he can be. He can be at any, I guess you would say, different. How can I say this the right way? But he can be at any group, or he can go to any meeting, he can go to any workout, you know, and he doesn't have to have any obligation of any other sort as far as, like, running the offense. So I think it kind of freed himself up to just be the head coach.
Right. It's so, a, you know, so it's, like,
go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, you finish, Coach, you finish.
Oh, I was just going to say, like, it almost kind of relieved him to just be himself and be the head coach of the whole team, and you know, now he's free to roam around and, you know, coach everybody as he sees fit.
Right. It's a pressure-packed business, and I know that's the same for you guys, you know, for the staff members, but the pressure also on your wives and your family. How do you deal with it, Coach Ancar?
I think at first you kind of feel it, but then you go to work. You know, it's just one of those things that it's the nature of the beast. You know, as far as our profession, we knew getting into it that, you know, when you're doing well, you get rewarded well. When you do bad, hey, there's going to be certain consequences that come from it. And I wouldn't change it for the world, but, you know, I've had people ask me the same thing, and it's almost kind of freeing because, you know, hey, maybe this could be it, or maybe, you know, it could turn into a new contract. But I'm actually feel free, you know, just to go out there and coach because you're not worried about it. It's, you got 1 year, and if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But I have no doubt about it happening this year.
Well, you got the speed and agility. You're the strength coach, Coach Ancar, but does speed and agility fit under your umbrella as strength coach?
Yeah, okay. It definitely does. Okay. You know, and I have a great staff. You know, my assistant, John Kennedy, he specializes in it. So I kind of gave him that role of being our speed guy, and he does a heck of a job, especially with these skill guys of you know, having them building up speed every single week. And sometimes we post on social media the miles per hour that they're hitting, you know, at a particular session. But, yeah, you know, I mostly work with the big boys and kind of give him the skill. But, yeah, you know, all of the agility, conditioning, all of that kind of fits under my umbrella.
There's so much science that goes into it from your end of the spectrum. I want equipment manufacturers. Are they keeping up as well with, you know, evolving equipment to make the game as safe as possible, considering it is like no other contact sport?
I would like to say so. You know, obviously I don't know all of the, you know, like scientific data on how many, you know, on this particular helmet as far as preventing concussions compared to what they used to be. But I feel like there's only so much that you can do as a manufacturer of some of this equipment. Like, guys are getting bigger, stronger, faster. They're moving faster. They're hitting harder. They're stronger. So, you know, anytime you start to look at just physics in general, the bigger an object is, the faster it's moving, you know, the more damage it's going to cause. So I think they're doing a great job. You know, I don't know 100% for sure with the scientific data and what it used to be in the past, but I feel like, you know, the safety of the game is a priority, especially at every level, and they wouldn't be doing it because they know so many lawsuits would be at stake if they weren't protecting the guys the right way.
Hey, Coach, we appreciate you being on the show. I mean it when I say you're really one of our favorite guests, and we always enjoy
it. You don't have to lie. Y'all don't have to lie.
No, I appreciate
it, though.
But I tell you this, Coach, maybe one night you and I can find some fried oysters and a couple cold beers together. Would that work?
Oh, that would work. Hey, I would have a whole lot more to say than what I said on air. I know that for sure.
Well, I'll be your designated driver, you guys.
Okay, there you go. Hey, Coach.
Designated drunk driver?
No. Just regular driver.
You're the best, Coach. Thank you, buddy. We appreciate you, man.
All right, man. appreciate y'all.
All right, Coach Lance Ancar, what a great guy, man.
Yeah, he's had a beer or two in his day.
I would think he could do any damn thing he wants to do. You've been in a room with Lance Ancar?
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, you're kissing up to him because he could beat the crap out of you. With
both of us at the same time.
Right.
All right, 601-264-8910. How many games are the Golden Eagles going to win? I'm going to start with you, Kelly. And this, let me say, Jacob, a listener, sent this question to me. How many football games do you guys predict the Golden Eagles will win in 2024? You're invited to share that with us or anything you'd like to talk about at 264-8910. But, Kelly, let me hear it.
Six. And here's how it's going to break down. They're going to beat Southeastern Louisiana. All right, and they're going to beat Jacksonville State. Now, that's in the non-conference.
Okay, well, let's go down the list here.
Okay.
August 31st, Southern Miss at Kentucky.
Yeah, I think Kentucky wins at home.
September 7th, Southeastern Louisiana at Southern Miss.
Big win at the home opener for the Eagles.
September 14th, South Florida at Southern Miss.
That one I was up in the air about, but South Florida has a lot of guys coming back, a lot of lofty expectations for the Bulls, so... Although it could go either way, I checked it. I'm a soft loss right there.
All right, September 21st, on the road at Jacksonville State.
That's the one that everybody thinks, you know, that Rich Rod and all that, that Jacksonville State, new member of Conference USA, is going to win. Not so. The Eagles will win that game up at Jacksonville State.
October the 5th, here's an old familiar foe, the Raging Cajuns at Southern Miss.
The Eagles win that one as well. DeSormo is in his third year now as coach of the Cajuns, and they've been 7-6 the last couple of years. Home field advantage might be the differentiator there, but the Eagles beat the Cajuns.
October the 12th, Southern Miss at Louisiana Monroe.
They win that one.
That's a team we think is going to be better, though, in my career. Or that's Arkansas State.
Arkansas State, yeah.
And that's the next week, except October 19th, Arkansas State at Southern Miss.
Arkansas State, one of the most vastly improved teams in the offseason. The Eagles might lose that one at home.
Really? October 26th, Southern Miss at James Madison.
Yeah, you got to give that one to the Dukes as well, even though they've got a new coach and they're kind of in disarray. They're pretty stacked everywhere else.
November 9th, Marshall at Southern Miss.
Eagles win that one. Eagles beat Marshall in Hattiesburg.
November 16th, Southern Miss at Texas State.
Texas State wins that one with the conference player of the year last year at James Madison, now the quarterback at Texas State.
November 23rd, South Alabama at Southern Miss. Well, it was ugly last year.
Eagles win.
Really? That'd be a heck of a turnaround.
New coach at South Alabama. It takes some time. You know, I don't care how good your players are. You got a new system. Even though Major Applewhite was the offensive coordinator, has been elevated to head coach, I think the Eagles win that one.
And the finale, November 30th, the Golden Eagles at Troy.
Yes, the Eagles win that one as well. New coaching staff. Troy had a lot of the cupboards cleaned out talent-wise.
6-5.
There you go.
Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying.
6-6. Is it 12 games?
6-6.
6-6. Is Kelly wrong? Kelly right?
Vegas has the Eagles win total at 4.5.
264-8910. 601-264-8910. Want to chat with us in the next break? Just give us a call. We'll put you on. Hang on.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Super Talk Eagle Hour back on the air Friday afternoon. Glad you're with us. We're trying to predict what Southern Miss football is going to do this fall. If you want to chime in, you can do so at 601-264-8910. All right, Kelly, I'm going to give you my take. And I think you may be surprised what I'm about to tell you.
I think you're going to go higher than 6.
Well, the Golden Eagles, and with all respects, probably go to Kentucky and play well but don't win that game, right? All the odds are stacked against you.
Right.
But you come back at home against Southeastern Louisiana, so you're 1-1.
Right.
South Florida, 2-1. I agree. I think they beat Jacksonville State. Now they're 3-1. They're coming back home to a rebuilding Louisiana team. You win that, you're 4-1. Then you have Louisiana Monroe. And Kelly, I'm looking at the possibility of 5-1 in the first six games.
Well, it could happen, as the late comedian Judy Tenuta always used to say. That was her catchphrase. It could happen.
All right, so we're 5-1 after we've played Louisiana.
Both Louisiana schools, right?
Right. Did I say Arkansas State?
No, that's okay. The next one.
So Arkansas State, now we hear they're really good, right?
And they're coming here, and that is the homecoming game, Bob.
So I'm going to say 5-2.
Okay.
You slip up.
Giving that one to the Wolves. Okay.
Then you go to James Madison, and you're 5-3.
Okay.
If you lose to James Madison, you beat Marshall at home, 6-3. Say you lose to Texas State on the road, you're 6-4. And then you come back and beat the Jaguars and Troy, and suddenly you finish the season 8-4.
So you're going with 8.
I'm going 7-5 to 8-4.
Okay. All right. And you made a good argument there. I go back to the guys in Las Vegas because, look, it's their job not only to get it right, but to be as close as possible. Last year, they were within a half a game as to what they thought that the Eagles would win. They've got Southern Miss at 4.5 wins, so they're not thinking a whole lot about the Eagles' opportunity. And look, it's no secret, too, that it all comes down to quarterback play. And at this point, you would think that Rademacher or Ethan Crawford would be the starter, you know, at this point, that it's their jobs to lose. I do think that John White, if the Eagles happen to go to John White at some point, it might be just a small degree of desperation, mm-hmm. just because he's, you know, a true freshman, and that they do have to win, you know, this year. But I can see, but see, you're giving them the South Florida win that I didn't give them, mm-hmm. And so I think South Florida is going to be pretty doggone good. Even though they are playing at the Rock, and you don't have the heat advantage on South Florida either, you know, them playing down in the Miami area, so I don't think that's necessarily going to be that big of an advantage. But other than that, we're pretty much thinking the same thing. But again, Bob, it's going to come down to quarterback play, which is consistently something Southern Miss has not had in the first 3 years of Will Hall's tenure.
Now let me throw this at you about Will Hall. Say my prediction is true, but the conservative end, let's say the Golden Eagles go 7-5. That gets you a bowl game in all likelihood. And let's take the bowl game results out of there.
I think I know where you're going here.
7-5, Will Hall gets an extension contract?
I would think so.
Contract extension, I should say?
How would you defend firing him? At 7-5,
I don't think you could.
No, I don't think so either. But now, what's really interesting in that discussion is 7-5 to me is a slam dunk. But you take just one of those wins away, now you got to. it's only one win. That just shows you what a fine line college football can be. It's only one win difference. But if you come in at 6-6, then you got a lot of people going, I don't know.
I think 6-6. I think 6-6 is likely get you a bowl game. I don't like that, but I do. I do think
I don't either.
A lot of teams at 6-6 get bowl games.
Yeah,
I think that'd be enough.
The thing that Jeremy McClain, and of course this is all hypothetical, but the thing that Jeremy McClain would have to wrestle with in his mind is what's going to be the fan base reaction to 6-6. If you extend a coach at 6-6, are you then saying that's going to be good enough after 4 years? Mm-hmm. Six. I mean, Jeff Bauer was, air quotes, asked to resign, and I don't think he ever, I mean, never had, you know, these percentage in a tougher league, I might argue, at mm-hmm. the time.
Right.
So that's something then that the fan base would say, well, if you think that 6-6 is enough, I'm not interested. You know.
Well, let me throw this scenario at you, though. So what do you gain by starting over? You're starting over from scratch.
And that is another thing that he would have to wrestle with. And remember, there was a time in Southern Miss where a coach left and you had to start all over again, and you saw how disastrous that was.
Right. Oh, you know? It was rock bottom.
And I'm not sure that the program has completely, you know, overcome that debacle, you know, when
rock
it happened.
Bottom.
So that's why you'd never want me to be an athletic director, because it would just be a really, really tough decision to make.
You do realize that Southern Miss has fired two Hall of Fame football coaches and a Hall of Fame basketball coach.
And one of the things that you really wrestle with, too, is, and you're starting to hear a little bit of this in the fan base, which is a little disconcerting, when they go, I'm just not sure anybody could win here in these circumstances. And, man, is that a defeatist attitude.
Yeah, I don't think that's correct.
I don't think so either, but you seem to be hearing more and more of it. You know, I just don't know that we're ever going to be able to win here on a consistent basis. Yeah. You know, and it's not because Southern Miss has gone in the tank, but it's because of the emergence of South Alabama, and Troy have stepped up their games, and, you know, the Cajuns, and you still got La Tech that's not in our league anymore, but there's a more fierce competition for the limited amount of players that are out there.
Now, you can take Bob Getty's opinion and $18 and get a cup of coffee at Starbucks. But I would contend that 3-8, you know, or 4-8, 3-9, that then there's their problem. But I don't think that's what they're going to be, Kelly. I think they're a 7. You may be right. 6-win team. I think probably 7-win team. I think 7-5 and a bowl game would show that maybe you're starting to turn the corner.
Now, if you ask your average ham and egger out there on the street, you know, your average blue collar guy, they're all, you know, they would all say, got to win 7. Got to win 7. You have to show improvement at some point. This is the fourth year. You got to win 7. So I think that's kind of the litmus test that most people, I think that's the lowest bar that people have shown. But what's interesting too, Bob, is none of this towards Will Hall has been personal. Everybody prefaces it by saying, oh man, I'm really pulling for this guy. I love this guy. I hope it works out. You know, but everybody seems now to have the realization that this is a business after all. And Will Hall certainly understands that. And he said, look, no matter what happens, Will and Rebecca Hall are going to be fine, you know.
Right.
But it's going to be Jeremy McClain and hopefully this will be moot. You know, hopefully the Eagles will notch the record that you project that they will, and it'll all be, you know, it'll all be moot and rocking and rolling forward.
You know what I think would help too? I think, and we had a guest recently that you saw it, man. Him, I won't say we didn't get an argument, but we had a kind of
spirited conversation.
Spirited conversation in my office. About what are realistic expectations. I contend that we should be focused on becoming a competitive team that competes for the Sun Belt Championship every year. And if we can do that, we should be happy. We should enjoy watching that. We should enjoy being a part of that. And forget what I think are unrealistic expectations in today's environment of we've got to do more than that. We have got to become the best power, you know, group of five program in the country.
But to play the devil's advocate, would you say the same thing about the baseball program? See, is it because you're already at that level where you're winning the Sun Belt every year?
But I think the sports are different.
Well, I see now.
I think your ability to compete nationally in baseball is vastly different than your ability to compete nationally in football.
When theoretically that should not be the case, because there are more Division One baseball teams than there are Division One football teams.
Yeah.
But when, you know, maybe 15 years ago, Southern Miss baseball fans would say we should just want to win Conference USA or the Metro or whatever the conference they were in at the time and be happy with that. And that's good for a few years. But then you start saying, well, look, we've already won this league 3 or 4 years. Now we need to step it up and play at a national level, which is what the baseball team has been doing. Yeah. So if you set that as the barometer for the baseball team, shouldn't it also? And I'm not saying it should or it shouldn't.
Right.
I'm just saying maybe that should be
I don't think there's nothing easy about winning college baseball.
No.
Don't misunderstand. But I read an article just this week that the offensive line for Georgia this year will average 6'5", 360 pounds. Now, you tell me how to compete against that.
Well, we need to get Patrick Irby on the phone. 360, that's a little heavy.
I'm not going to tell him that.
No, I wouldn't tell the guys that to
I
their face.
I got a couple special guests in the studio. That's next.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Southern Miss to the top.
To the top.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, welcome back. Super Talk Eagle Hour. I want to thank our great sponsors, 4th Street Bar and Grill, D-Bat on Hardy Street, Genesis of Hattiesburg, Town and Country Cleaners, and I think we mentioned Mo Baby J Company. I'm starting to sound like Joe Biden. And we appreciate all they do. Hey, everybody's a little shy today, but we just got this great message sent to us by a listener regarding what we were talking about. Please tell Kelly, I get it, we have to win. I'm not sure what fans say. We have to win 7 or 8 games. If we win 8, Will Hall should be coach of the year. But do we really want to start over? The best thing we can do for the program is join the Eagle Club, buy tickets, help the collective. And I love this. Name me a coach in the SEC that could come win big at Southern Miss or do better than Will Hall if he couldn't bring his SEC checkbook.
But that goes back to the point that we made, you know, before. The is 6-6 good enough? I mean, what's the average fan base going to say about if you settle for 6-6? What are you telling everyone that's going to be good enough? That 6-6 is not what you should shoot for. And again, I'm in either way. But I'm just saying that would be the dilemma that Jeremy McClain would have to deal with if take Will Hall out of the picture. Any coach, if after 4 years, if 6-6 is good enough, I contend that a lot of the fan base would say that they're out. Yeah. If the goal is 6-6, they're out.
Right. And this listener's name is Barry. We really appreciate that. One other thing that he posted and I think or sent me, and I think this is good too. I know what winning is, but it is what it is. By withholding support and finances, we wouldn't hurt Will Hall. He's a good coach that'll immediately get a job somewhere else. All we do is hurt our football program.
Well, it's true, but it's also people's decision,
right?
You know, to get on board with a process or not.
That's why we like people communicating with us. We value your opinion. All right, Kelly, to your right here, you want to stand up there? Okay, there are two little munchkins in the building. One, as you noticed, was wearing a Southern Miss authentic baseball jersey.
I see that.
The other is an old veteran of the show. These two come stay with me every summer from St. Augustine, Florida.
Well, it's a suburb. What's the suburb?
Jacksonville.
Yeah, no, what'd you call it? They live in
Ritzy Town.
Oh, Ritzy Town.
Ritzy Town, Florida.
Okay.
They're very, very wealthy, aren't you, Towns? Towns Getty, my grandson. Hello, Towns.
Hello.
And my beautiful granddaughter, May Claire Getty. Can we say hello, May?
Hello.
Well,
now, May, let's go to May quickly. May has this Golden Eagle baseball jersey on. May, tell us what you think about Southern Miss baseball. You were here this spring and took in a weekend series and left with that, I might add, very expensive, authentic baseball jersey. You like it?
Yes, sir.
What was the most fun about being at the baseball game? May? Eating popcorn?
Yeah.
Yeah, she ate tons of that popcorn. Mr. Larry provided her with the popcorn. Mr. Larry was very nice and let her come to his suite. Now, Towns has been to baseball as well. Towns is obviously a little older. Towns just became a teenager, Kelly. Yeah. Towns, what's it like to be back in Mississippi and back on the Super Talk Eagle Hour?
Cool.
Cool.
Boy, the teenage Homo sapien male is a lot of reason why some mammals eat their young.
Yeah, speaking of Homo sapien males, he has a Bigfoot shirt on. I don't know if you noticed that, Kelly. Yeah. So, guys, what do you think about Kelly's? You know, Kelly just came from the bowling alley.
How Blaine's?
And he has his bowling shirt on. What do you think about that, May?
Cool,
huh? How about you, Towns?
It's awesome sauce.
It's awesome sauce.
Sauce.
Wow, Kelly,
so
listen to you.
You guys got to get Granda to take you to the new water park in town. What are some of the other things that you guys are going to do while you're here in the next couple of weeks?
I'm going to make Papa take me to the zoo.
Going to make Papa take you to the zoo, which I thought was just your house when they're here, Bob.
Believe me, it truly is. We're probably going to eat out a lot, I'm guessing, right, based on the first 24 hours.
I hope.
Towns, what's your favorite kind of food, dude? What's your favorite kind of food? The questions only get tougher.
Yeah.
Chicken.
I mean, you may.
What is this thing you guys are doing?
What is your favorite? Noise? What is your favorite food, May? Candy? Talk, May.
Corn dogs.
Corn dogs.
Well, that's usually on the menu, right? The children's menu, corn dogs and mac and cheese.
Well, I'm happy to say that Towns and May and our dog Pearl Girl will all be staying at Kelly's house tonight. We're dropping them off on the front porch about 5 o'clock.
I moved yesterday.
Is there anything you'd like for Kelly to have ready for you when you get there, food wise?
I want to go home.
Funny how every woman says that when they've been at my house. They want to go home.
Well, guys, we're glad you're here. Thank you for coming on the show.
You're welcome.
It was riveting, Towns.
It was really exciting. Yes. Thank you, too, May.
Y'all. The show.
What?
I think that's enough for one week.
If you didn't tell me, I would have known right there they're related to you, Bob.
Yeah, thank you very much, Kelly. Do you notice how the female instantly started shaking their head no when the reference to your house came up?
Like I'm not used to it, right?
All right. Back Monday at 1 o'clock, Southern Miss.
To the top.
Time keeps on slipping into the future.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.